By faith they pass through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. Let us pray. We do pray, Lord God, that the blessed, inspired, and unfailing word may be to us a means of grace to increase our faith, that we may face the trials and problems of this life as the great heroes of the Old Testament did, in faith in thee. Amen. We continue in our study of Hebrews. We come to the second half of chapter 11, the great faith chapter. The last time we saw all the great heroes of the Bible were famous for many different exploits, but they all had in common one thing, and that was faith. It was through faith that they conquered. Faith is a victory, St. John tells us, that overcomes the world. Faith is the foundation of the Christian religion. You know, you don't become saved until you finally realize that the only good works that will save you are the good works of Christ. And you can be saved by faith in Him alone. Then throughout your Christian life, you need faith in the Lord for all the challenges you face. Now let's begin where we left off last time at verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Well, Isaac's intention was to bless his firstborn. That would be customary. But as you know, Jacob tricked him. And he stole a blessing from Esau. Nevertheless, Jacob recognized in this the providence of God by faith, that God's providence overrules the plans of men. And so he let the blessing stand. The same thing in the next verse. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the stop of his staff. Again, it's Father Joseph's intention that the elder shall receive the blessing, the superior blessing. The grandfather crosses his hands and he puts his right hand on the younger. And the younger, again, gets the superior blessing. He recognized by faith the overruling providence of God, and that blessing, again, stood. By faith, when he died, Joseph made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, when Joseph died, it would be 400 years before Israel would enter the promised land. But Joseph still believed the promise to Abraham that it would happen one day. And so he commanded that his bones, when he died, should be taken and buried in the land of promise, knowing that one day God's promise would be fulfilled. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Moses' faith, his parents' faith, was in spite of the king's commandment that all boy babies should be killed, God would preserve him. And you know, it took some faith to put their little baby in a basket in the Nile River and entrust him to the keeping of God. That was faith, a faith that was rewarded because God kept Moses all right. He ended up in the royal family of the most powerful nation on earth. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to serve her, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses had all the advantages and privileges of being the king's daughter's son. All the riches, the glitter of the royal palace was his, the opulence of the court. But he was willing to forsake all that and identify himself with the poor, despised, enslaved Hebrews, because they were the people of God, and his own adopted family was not. He'd rather be part of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The pleasures of sin in this case would be the sin of apostasy, the sin of refusing to be part of the people of God. That might bring pleasure for a season, but only a season. Many Christians have to make the same decision. There's a world, there are the people of God, one or the other. But he said, it says he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. There isn't any reward this world can give you compared with what Christ gives to you for faithful service. You think of all these zillionaire athletes, movie stars. A lot of them die of drug overdoses. They die without Christ. They don't take their mansions and limousines to the next world. And the next world is, to them, is not the one you want to go to. Great respect of the reward of faithful service. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Not fearing the wrath of the king. You read that account in Exodus, the 10 plagues, and how he comes before Pharaoh again and again, fearlessly demanding he let his people go. You know, coming before that king would be like coming before Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin. This was a dangerous man. He was like the Queen of Hearts. He would be off with your head. And here Moses, who are you? You're part of these slaves? You're telling me what to do? Why did he have such courage? Because he endured as seeing him who is invisible. One of my favorite texts in the Bible. He endured as seeing him who was invisible. He knew the Lord was by his side when he was in front of Pharaoh. You can't see Christ, but by faith you can believe wherever you are, he's there. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. The Passover lamb they killed represented the death of Christ for their sins. And God commanded them to take the blood of this lamb, to strike the lintel and the doorposts of their house, making the sign of the cross with blood. And God said, wherever that blood is, the death angel can't enter. Those who had faith in what God said, the death angel did not enter their house. Those who did not have faith in what God said and didn't do it, the death angel entered and killed the firstborn. It's like Noah again. Those who believed were saved. Those who didn't were drowned. Those who believed were saved. Those who didn't, the death angel entered their home. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. You know, it would have taken faith to walk into that path through the sea. Walls on both sides, how do you know that's going to stay? But they had faith that the Lord was leading them. And by faith they passed through safely. The Egyptians also entered the Red Sea, but they entered not by faith, but by presumption. And they were all drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed, about 7 days. That would have taken faith again. The Lord tells them to do something pretty mysterious. Once a day, you're supposed to march around this city with the priests blowing their horns and the people perfectly silent. Once a day for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, I want you to march around this city 7 times. And the seventh time, the priest will blow the horn a long blast and all the people will shout and the walls will fall down flat. That's exactly what happened because they had faith to believe the promise of God. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab's a beautiful example of faith. She, like all the other people in Jericho, had heard all about what the God of the Hebrews had done in Egypt. She had heard about the 10 plagues, about the parting of the Red Sea. And with this evidence, she believed that this God was the true God and the one in whom she would trust and not the idol gods of her people. The other inhabitants of Jericho had the same evidence. But instead of believing, it said they cowered in terror. Rahab hid the Hebrew spies because in identifying with their God, she identified with their people. Truly remarkable. First, this dispensation, the church was primarily Jewish. Rahab was a Gentile. Furthermore, she was a Canaanite, a people who were cursed and doomed. And more than this, she was a harlot. Some people have tried to soften the word and say, well, she was an innkeeper. I'm sorry, it means harlot. She was a prostitute. God is a God of grace. 3 strikes, Gentile, Canaanite, harlot. And yet by faith she was saved and became an ancestress of Christ. This shows the universality of the gospel, doesn't it? Any race, no matter how great your sin, by faith in the God of Israel, Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Writer says, I couldn't possibly go on naming all the heroes of faith. He just gives some highlights. The judges, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. Interesting that Samson and Jephthah are heroes of faith. These were men with rather deep character flaws, we might say. But again, God is a God of grace to those who fear him. And the writer ends the list with the establishment of the kingdom under David and the prophetic order of Samuel. Who faith, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. How? Who through faith did all these things? Faith in the Lord, and the Lord did it through them. David subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness. Daniel stopped the mouths of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego quenched the violence of fire. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Women received their dead raised to life again. Elijah, by faith, brought the son of the widow of Zarephath back to life. Elisha, by faith, brought the Shunammite's son back to life. Others were martyred, looking for a better resurrection, the resurrection, not the temporary life, but eternal life. And others had trial, cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. A general description of those who were willing to suffer for their faith because they trusted in God above all the trials and circumstances that providence brought them. There may be a reference to Jeremiah, whom an old tradition says was stoned to death by the Jews in Egypt. Or to Isaiah, who tradition says was sawn in half by wicked King Manasseh. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, for God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. But what this means was they all went to heaven because of their faith in the Lord, but they still haven't reached that perfect stage, which is the resurrection. You know, Paul said, it's good for me to be here, but it's better to depart and be with the Lord. And the resurrection is best. Good, better, best. That's what we're looking forward to. He says the reason they haven't received this perfected state yet is because God won't do that until he has us all together, from the first elect, saved, to the last elect. Then we'll all be gathered together in one in the perfect paradise back on earth. All through faith, we inherit this. Amen. We thank thee, God, for the gift of faith. We pray that we may learn to employ it more and more in all the trials and vicissitudes of this present evil world. And we thank thee that by faith we see Christ with us every moment of every day. And by faith we see the land afar off, where we shall one day be. Amen.